Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Chris Holland. Chris is the owner of Folie Douce. Let's talk about the name, first of all, because I know a lot of people don't know what the name means. What does the name of the restaurant mean?
Folie Douce loosely translates as sweet madness. Douce meaning sweet, and the folie crazy or mad. So together, it's sweet madness, and it kind of pertains to our crew and our style of going about things.
Uh-huh. And now you aren't the original owner of the restaurant. How did the restaurant originally evolve?
It was started, I guess, 24 years ago by Lisa Drinkward and Les Behrens and Jean-Louis Hamish. They partnered and had this beautiful idea for this wood-fired oven and bistro-style restaurant.
And now, how did you get involved with the restaurant?
I've been involved with restaurants since I've been about 5 years old. My mother was a restaurant manager. By the time I was 13, I was working full-time in restaurants as well, and moved to the West Coast, ended up here in California, loved the mountains, and started gardening and enjoying everything that we have here, and quickly ended up back in restaurants, in fact, at Folie Douce, which I loved. I went out to dinner there one night and thought everything was perfect. I went back the next day and got a job, and I've been there ever since. It's been almost 20 years now I've worked there.
And now you talk about your background a little bit. What kind of a restaurant did your mom run?
Well, it was an East Coast Bay restaurant, fish, big caterings and banquets, and Jersey Shore restaurant. I don't know if you're familiar with typical, you know, old school shrimp scampi and big steaks, and not what we're doing here now.
Seems like you grew up knowing what good food was, too.
Oh, I was fortunate that my mother loved to cook. You know, I like to say when my daughter heard other kids saying they don't like garlic, and she claims that she didn't either. She doesn't know how much garlic at, you know, 4 years old she was eating.
Right.
And like, so I was that kind of kid, too.
Uh-huh. Now, what sort of a word would you use if you had to describe Folie Douce's menu to people who don't know?
I usually think of it as a California bistro. Mm-hmm. We use all of the local, organic, seasonal ingredients that we can. However, we're influenced by a lot of different nationalities. I tend to Mediterranean, Asian. Sometimes, however, we do Indian and German and South American and anything. Uh-huh. But it's typically just fresh California food. So.
Uh-huh. Now, pizza is one of the items the original owners, they were really keyed in on getting that wood-fired oven. And I'm just kind of jealous because, like, what, 5 minutes, you've got a pizza, right?
Almost. Yeah. The wood oven is just a great entry to the restaurant. Uh-huh. It welcomes people in. It's warm. And we can put all of that, those fresh ingredients, on a beautiful organic crust and do anything we want with it, from the traditional marinara pizza to shrimp and avocado with a sambal sauce.
I think just the way that you make the pizzas too. I mean, one of the things I've found from making pizzas at home is less is more. When you have a pizza where you can really see the ingredients and taste all of the ingredients on there, it's just so much better to me.
I agree. And when you use top quality ingredients, as we do with our meals, they taste so much better. You know, you use high-quality Parmesan instead of, you know, the lower. You taste that in every bite. Fresh basil that was just picked that morning, and tomatoes that we canned ourselves. And it makes all the difference.
Yeah. Now, how do you hook up with the farmers and the foragers and the ranchers and all that sort of thing? Because, you know, people talk about using local ingredients in restaurants, but there are logistical issues that kind of come up. I mean, sure, it's easy to have the truck come with everything on it and just dump the stuff off at your restaurant. But what are some of those logistical issues, and how have you kind of overcome those?
We are really fortunate to be in a community that supports our local farmers beyond just a few restaurants. Like, it might be harder in the city to draw them in. The farmers not only contact us, we are all hanging out at the farmers market on Saturday and have relationships with them, and we go to their farms, and I'm friends with a lot of the farmers, and I do also have a produce buyer who calls all of the local farmers to find out what lists of fruits and vegetables they have available and at what time so that we can diversify and make our menu as good as it can be. And also, I have a huge farm that I bring in a lot of produce, edible flowers, herbs, rotating chards and kales, as well as chicken and duck eggs for the restaurant. So that's
wow.
A boon too.
Talk about true farm to table sort of thing. You've got your own farm, so you're, you know, really aware of the types of vegetables and fruits that are out there at any season. That sounds perfect. Now, how about the foragers? You know, people are bringing you nettles and mushrooms and berries and that sort of thing. How do you kind of connect with those guys?
We get a lot of them actually drop in and want to offer them to us. And we're lucky to be able to select the best foragers with the highest product. You know, we have one gentleman who comes with mushrooms that he's been doing it since he was a young boy. And they're top quality, beautiful, and he's consistent. And it's really easy. It's not like we have to seek them out. Occasionally when I want huckleberries or blackberries, I might even have to go pick them myself. And the nettles actually take over my garden, so I bring them in for our pestos and whatnot.
Now, sharing the information with customers, I've come to your restaurant and I've seen like little posts about where the food is actually coming from. How is that important to share that information with your customers?
Well, I think the best reason is that customers are aware of why the food tastes so wonderful, and they make a practice at home to make those choices when they're buying things to support their local economy and understand the difference and how they're supporting our community by eating at our restaurant too.
It seems like more people, like I know I go out to restaurants and I will ask the wait staff, where is this meat coming from? Where is this fish coming from? Do you find more and more consumers are educated and asking those sorts of questions?
Yes, and I think that's why they end up in my restaurant, because that information is on our website. And when I'm traveling, I go to different cities, and that's what I look for, too. So I specifically end up at those kind of restaurants. So.
Right. Yeah. And when I travel, too, it seems like, I mean, you want to eat things that are the area's specialty. You don't want to go there and have the same old that's being shipped in from Texas or California or whatever. You know, you want to go there and taste what it is that they're famous for and what's freshest and best.
Exactly. Not only do I care about local food, I also want to support an environment that takes care of our planet, and that's part of why I do it. So the reason why I focus a lot on that is not only for the freshness, but also for caring about a bigger picture in the world.
Yeah. Now, speaking about caring about a bigger picture in the world, you've recently started doing some fundraising dinners at Folie Douce. Tell me about that.
I have been doing fundraising since my daughter started preschool, and I have spent thousands of hours probably trying to raise money for different schools and events, and realize the best way I can now with a restaurant help continue to donate to these projects is to do a once a month fundraiser for nonprofit organizations where we do a price fixed dinner, and then the profits from that event go toward that organization. So that organization brings in their friends and their group for dinner, and within one night, I can raise $2,000 for them without all of the work that's been going into that I've done for no value before.
Yes.
And the begging of the community for donations. So this way, I can give one day a month of my time, a little bit of planning, and raise a lot of money in one shot.
That sounds perfect.
I can pay my employees, create a beautiful menu, do great publicity for an organization, and, you know, not lose money myself, but be able to give a really good sum in one night. It's
a win-win.
Win-win. And I would encourage anyone who's interested in applying for a Monday night, once a month spot to get in touch with us, because they're available.
So if people are interested in doing that, they should give a call to the restaurant. And what would the number be?
822-1042, 822-1042. And our email address is foliedouce@gmail.com. So that's a great way to get in touch with me, too.
And you have a website, too, where people can check out your menu and see all the great local stuff you've got on it.
We do, foliedouce@gmail.com.
Great. Thank you so much, Chris.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.